Greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning. It has been a tremendous joy to be here this morning already. And I feel like, I guess everybody does when they're on to share something, it feels like everything jumps out in a more vivid way and or maybe connects more than at times when you're just sitting with no responsibility. I don't know what you're expecting today. I know what Earl suggested, and I know what was on my heart from months ago, even prior to ordination. And in fact, a month or two after that was on my heart, one of my boys, or maybe both of the boys, came and asked me, "So, why do we do this certain thing?" And it happened to be the same thing that was on my heart to share. And I said, "Listen, boys, just give it a bit, and I'll think it through. And then the next time I'm on the schedule to preach, that's what it'll be." And that's what was on my mind and on my heart. And then yesterday, midday, it was like God said, "No, there's some people expecting something different." So here we are this morning, and I still don't know what you're expecting. I have an idea what some of y'all are expecting, but I don't know what y'all are expecting. I want to draw something up here. Any of you ever asked that question? How did I get here? How did I get here? And why? And exactly why? And the very last time I asked this question was in North Carolina at a Bible school that I felt was a complete failure. And the closing night I stood up and I said, "I do not know why I'm here. I don't even know how I got here. But here we are. We're here. We're here." Let's bow for prayer. Our Father and our God, we just pause before you this morning. Lord, we're humbled before you. You're such a great God. And Lord, you care about such small creatures as us. In fact, you have a plan for us, a plan to prosper us. Lord, we want to follow you. We want to follow your plan. We want your will in each one of our lives. We want your will in this congregation. Lord, we want your will for the lost. Lord, I pray you would just instill in us your heart. Help us to understand you better, Lord. We want to draw closer to you. We want to live more fully in you. Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak to us. You would fill this place afresh and again. Lord, we felt it already. And Lord, we just ask for it again in this next segment of time, Lord, that you would just be here and very, very present and speak to each one of us. Lord, can we learn from your heart? Can we learn from you? Lord, we want to feel you. We want to hear you. And Lord, we want to follow you. Lord, bind the powers of darkness that we wish to invade and distract and pull our minds in many other directions. And Lord, help us to focus on you. You're faithful. You've been so good to us. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, before I start with this, I want to say thank you. A very big thank you. to all of you. Sister Doris said she felt the prayers over this last week, and our family would echo that. We felt the prayers over the last week or two, a couple weeks. We've also felt the support in words, in plates of cookies and other good stress foods to eat. We've felt you very, 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 very near and very supportive. Thank you. And to my boys, I won't forget the message. We'll come back to it. And along with that, I want to say that if there's other, especially younger children, that see or wonder about something, please don't hesitate to ask. I feel extremely unqualified for this. I shouldn't say qualified. Unable to fulfill this position on my own. But with God's grace, I believe that He will enable and empower. And so, if there's any of you that have a question or want to hear a specific message down a specific line, I want to be open to it, right? So from the smallest child to youth to the old people, you name it, bring it. I won't know it, but I will study it and I'll ask God for direction on it. I want to be open to that. Have you ever asked this question, how did I get here? Zach, did you ask that question in the hospital this week? How did I get here? Chris, did you ask the question this week? Did you ask the question the other week when you broke your arm? How did I get here? And why? Why exactly am I here? What's the purpose? See, this line represents each one of our lives, a starting and no end for our soul, but a life. And we all are filling out this timeline, all of us. And for Zach this week, there's a blip somewhere here. We don't know where. Somewhere it shows a week worth of time in the hospital. And most of us are looking at it and we don't know why. And Zach's looking at it and he don't know why, right? And Chris probably looks at it and he don't know why. And that's just within this last week. Many of us have had experiences all across this period of time that we call life. We've all had experiences. We've all gotten to places, I believe, where we've asked the question, how did I get here? And the answer might be one foot ahead of the other. 1 minute turned to an hour, and an hour turned to a day, and a day turned to a week, and a week turned to a month, and months turned to years, and here you are. We're all here. And I don't know where you are, but I know you're here. I think there is something that Abe touched on this morning. Actually, it came out just a couple times. He didn't specifically say it, but alluded to it in the timeline of a blind man. He spoke about the timeline of a blind man. And I'm going to venture a guess that that blind man, as he sat there, as he was a young boy, he probably often wondered, why am I here? How did I get here? Why? What's the purpose? What's the reason? And I don't know if it said how old he was, but to reach that point of life, he probably wondered, how did I get here, more often than you and I do. But I think he wondered it. And this morning, Brother Earl said, I'm not going to put you on for communion, so if you want to share your experience, you can do that. And I took that as a, like, we'd like to hear your experience. And someone else this week said, we would really like to hear your experience. And so I don't feel like, I would rather stand here and tell you about Paul the Apostle's experience. And I'd like to draw you his timeline, right? And I'd like to tell you how it all ended for him. But there's something I want to look at first. Something that stood out to me like never before. And there's so much we can learn in these scriptures I want to read. But we're not going to like get way deep into them. I want to like read over them and get to the end, to this point. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and so this is Jesus early on in his ministry, sitting down with his disciples that he had called, and he taught them. This is just flowing from his heart. This is the heart of God, if you would. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that shall mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is the reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but shall be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And as Jesus gave these words straight from his heart, the heart of the Father, as he gave these words, we could look at any one of these and we could take the rest of the time and we could dive into his heart behind any one of these things. But I think if we looked at them in a bigger picture, we would see that his intent was a shaping of his disciples. Each one of them had a shaping effect, or would have a shaping effect in the future. And I think if we would take and we would dig into everything that I just read in the last 16 verses, we would see that there's areas in our hearts and lives that we feel like we could be shaped and molded more into his likeness on. We could get a better glimpse of his heart. But the conclusion of the whole shaping matter, the conclusion of the whole matter, was so the Father would be glorified. The conclusion of all of this worked out in all of our lives, the conclusion is for the Father to be glorified. Oh, sure, it might be a better quality of life for you, but it might not be because you might be persecuted. The conclusion of this matter is that the Father would be glorified. We can look again at another one in John. Another very, very familiar one. I am the true vine. This is John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And the men gathereth them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I was struck again. I've often looked and been impressed at the simple truths and the easy to understand terminology, but I don't feel like I've ever actually like had the verse jump out that all of this happening in the lives of you and I is ultimately to bring glory to the Father. That's the whole purpose, was to bring glory to the Father, so that God would be glorified. You know, any one of these things can be painful. There can be experiences as God's purging us. There can be experiences as God's convicting us. There can be experiences as we're studying into His Word and He touches on something in your life and says, hey, more humility or more meekness, or I want to shape you in a different way. I want you to learn something. I mean, these aren't often pleasant experiences. Not for me, not for you. And yet, at the end of the day, all of those things come back to one common reason. They all have one common reason, and that is to bring glory to the Father Himself. To bring glory to the Father Himself. So, Zach, in the hospital this week, you didn't understand it. But I'm venturing a guess that as our Father in heaven looked down, He wanted to be glorified in your life in the hospital for 1 week. Chris and anyone else, all of us, as we lived this week and as we went about the things we went about and we experienced the experiences that we experienced, there was one common purpose for all of it. And that was for the Father to be glorified. So was the Father glorified? So was the Father glorified in our lives this week? In the things we didn't understand, in the things we don't understand, in the things we are not understanding. We might be in the middle of it right now. I don't know. Is the Father being glorified in your life and in mine? You know, as I reflect back, I don't know how far back to go. As I reflect back at God's goodness, it's astounding. And as I reflect back at my immaturity, it's embarrassing. And I don't want y'all to think, like, as I share this, that I've in any way reached some monumental place, right? Because that would be false. So it's not like we've gotten to perfection somehow. That's out. But if we look back to, and I didn't even recall years, but look back to years ago, to the day when my wife and I and our oldest were at Oasis, and the 1 year honeymoon of Oasis. I mean, it was amazing. In fact, it was amazing. And I think it was shortly after that we as a church, I think I'd be fair to say, we started facing maybe some turbulence. And I'm not going to stand here and I'm not going to try to decipher what all it was, right? I think any of y'all that have been here for that amount of time, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, as a young fella raised in a godly home, a very godly home, after I got saved, I was very, very passionate about a few things. One was evangelism. And one was, believe it or not, church membership. I felt a very strong that church membership is extremely important to be a part of the body of Christ. And I had a very, very strong conviction for it. I think it's right. Maybe it was a little extreme, but I had a strong take on it. And somewhere after the 1 year mark, maybe, of Oasis being started, to sit in a meeting and hear that, it seems like you're going one direction and maybe we're going another direction. And maybe it would be best if you would try to find a home somewhere else. That took me for a major tailspin. Because the very things that I believed were like foundational just got like pulled out from under me. And I said, so now what? Now I'm not a part. Now what? Right? So it's a mark on the timeline of life for me and for our family. It was monumental. It was big. It was not where we wanted to be. But we were there. We did not understand it. We asked many questions. How did we get here? Why are we here? What brings us to this place? And as I said already, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say that there was many immature statements made, and or maybe things that were true but were not pertinent to the situation that did not help the situation. I'll be the first to say it, to my shame. See, a piece on the timeline, a shaping from God, if you would, as we read in some of these scriptures, a shaping. Some things that God saw in our lives and in my life that said, you're not usable to me yet in the dimension for which I want to use you. And so for many years, 7 years, 7 years maybe, we visited and we tried and we visited some more. And it was like God wasn't done shaping us yet, because each place that we went wasn't right. And what I mean by that is there's many right churches. I'm not here downing anybody here. I'm not downing any churches we visited or anything like that. But it was not God's will. We had not arrived to where God wanted us to be yet. He still had more shaping to do. He had more humility to work out, more meekness, more pruning in our lives that he wanted to work out. And then one day, it was like it was clear as day. God said, go back to Oasis. And we said, say what? And there it was. People have asked, so what's the story? What's the story? That's it. God said, go back. That's the story. An event on the timeline where God said, I've shaped you to a place where I can have you fit in here. That's incredible to me. It's incredible to me how God works, how God heals. We left with lots of hard feelings and lots of bitterness and resentment because why and how the church of my childhood has put me out. But it was not so. It was God had a shaping, had a journey he wanted to take us on. Had a journey he wanted to take us on. And as I said before, we were not perfect when God said go back. We're not perfect today. God's continuing to shape. God has so much further he wants to take us. But we've been overwhelmed, I think is the right word, overwhelmed at, so the first time I text John and said, can we sit down to talk? And I don't know what all went through your mind, but overwhelmed at the reception from the congregation, from you all, the welcome back. Oh, sure, it wasn't just join right in. There was a little bit of like, so where have you been? What have you done? What's the plan? That's good, that's right. A shaping. And so, years have gone by, and we've happily enjoyed church life. We have. And yet, there was still some more shaping to do. Some more spots in the timeline that we would not understand. Some things that we would sit and say, why, God? How did I get here? And why? Why am I here? And so, probably one of the bigger of those was the day that I rolled my truck. Doug knows all about that. Why, God? Why? How did I get to this spot? Just a few hours later, the roads were dry, and why? Why? And then 3 days later, to be laid up for the better part of a month with something that the doctors still didn't figure out what it was or what it is. Why, God? What purpose? There's so much to be done. There's business to do, and there's work in my family. There's so much. And yet, God wanted to shape us some more. Another fairly large event in the timeline. No, it's not the truck. They come and they go. It was a timeline in the event where God sat me still for the better part of a month to reflect, to be shaped, to learn of Him. In the time, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it. But see, the further down this timeline we get, the easier it is to look back and say, that's why. That's why. And I think one of the biggest things that God wanted to instill into my heart and into our family's heart was the need and the reliance for brotherhood. How important that was. Oh, sure, we were enjoying church life. That was good. But there's more than just sitting and enjoying it. There's more to church life than just sitting and enjoying it. There's way more to it than that. And so it was that God taught us how we could continue to keep business going without me being so busy and giving me an ability to be more involved in church. And I'm a slow learner, and so I'm back on my feet running after a month or so, and trying to make up for lost time, if you would, and putting people in place and trying to make things happen. And we reach another very, very big monumental place where there was a breakdown in a relationship. And I said, how did I get here? And why? And why? It was working just fine. How did I get here and why? And yet it was like God had more shaping He wants to do in our lives and in my life. And He said, it's because I want you to get more involved in your family, more involved in church, more involved. And most of you probably have noticed Wednesday night started happening right about that point. And it was almost as clear as go back to Oasis. It was like, this is your opportunity. You got an opening, like your schedule is clear. This is to go here. Become more involved, become more invested. At the time, we didn't know why, but it was right, because it's where God was leading us. You know, as I look at the timeline of our lives, I look at some of those big events, and I look back and I give God so much glory for his guidance and his leading through all of those different avenues. And now down here somewhere or whatever, I can look back to the day that we were no longer at Oasis, and I can say God did it for a reason. With zero feelings of resentment, but with adoration to a Savior that cared that much about me personally and my family, that cared that much, that he was willing to take us on that journey and to actually guide us and keep us safe and keep our hearts in a spot where we didn't stray away from him. Right? A God who cared that much about us. He shaped us in that way. You know, as I think of our lives and I think of this timeline that we each have and everything, and I've alluded to this already, I kind of see a thing where it goes like this, and it goes over an overreaching thing that should go above each one of our timelines. And that is, in the midst of all of these things, whatever they are, every event in our timeline, everything we don't understand, should be an overreaching thing, that is, to God be the glory. A response in your heart and in mine, to God be the glory. Oh, that's easier said than done. And that's easier now to look back and say that. But oh, that God would give us and myself the heart that in the midst of hard times, we would look up and say to God be the glory in this situation. God use it in some way. God shape me in some form. God make me more usable in your kingdom. It's not about a position, it's about being more usable for Christ. It's about being more instrumental in his kingdom. If we had time, we could go into Acts and look how the early church was persecuted, and as they were being accused of these miracles and things that were happening in the church, and the persecutors were standing there looking, the response was something to the effect that, and they didn't do anything about it because all of the people, the church, all glorified God. They all glorified God for the things that were done and being done. It stopped the persecutors in their tracks at the people glorifying God in the persecution and in the shaping, in the moldings, in the healings, the sick people that were being brought, all the things that were happening from good to bad. And everything between, the church glorified God, and the persecutors took notice. The world takes notice when God's name is lifted high in the midst of a very, very tough or difficult time. We could, as I said earlier, we could think about or talk about men through Scripture that had this very same experience, Paul being one of them. Paul having so many things right, being raised with goodly heritage, being schooled well, being the citizen of the right country, all things were going well for him, and yet God had a very, very shaping event for him. Paul didn't see it, Paul didn't know it, until one day there was a big event where he got struck down and was on the ground before God and couldn't see no more. He was struck with blindness, and we look at that, Paul's response to that, it was ultimately glory to God. Glory to God. And you look at Paul's life throughout all of the tough times, all of the difficult things that Paul went through. And yet today the church has grown in leaps and bounds because of one individual's willingness to follow and be shaped by Christ and to give the glory back to God. Peter is another one that sticks out to me. Peter was one that was so adamantly a follower of Christ. He's a disciple of Jesus. And he was there to prove it. Completely there to prove it. I mean, he had his sword and he was going to protect his Savior. He was going to make this happen. And Jesus tried telling him, there's some more shaping that needs done in you. There's more shaping. And he didn't hear it and he didn't see it until that extremely bitter moment. The extremely bitter moment when he stood there and heard the rooster crow for the third time, and it hit him. It hit him. It hit him what Jesus was telling him all along. There's more shaping. Peter, there's more shaping in your life. Peter, there's a work I want to do in you. Peter, there's going to be some very hard times for you. And you know what? I think Peter responded well. And we see through the years, as Peter became converted and got in tune with God and Jesus' teachings and discipling to him, the glory that came back to God because of his life is tremendous. And you and I are impacted because of it today. You and I are impacted because of it today. I guess I just say all this to say that as we go through life, myself and yourself, all of us jointly as a congregation, because it may happen in a personal way for you and for I that we get shaped, but it may happen in a church way, and we all understand that well. We've been there where God took us as a church and wanted to shape us and is still shaping us, and sometimes it hurts way more than it does right now. Sometimes it's way more difficult than others. And those times will come. Those times will come. And so I can stand here and make it sound really easy because we're not in the middle of it. But my heart and my prayer is that for each of us in our lives, both in the difficult times and in the good times, the why times and the how did I get here times, the wow, it's a joy to serve the Lord times, that we would reflect all glory to God. That's his heart. That's his will. That is what we saw Jesus teach as he walked on this earth. It was his extreme desire that through his life on this earth and his death and resurrection, all of it was to bring nothing to himself. All of it was done so that his Father would be glorified through it. All of it. So as we go from here, I want to read the better part of 1 Peter chapter 4. Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Okay, take on the mind of Christ, right? What was the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ was that his complete and entire life that he lived here on this earth would bring honor and glory to the Father. There was zero in it for him. It was all for the Father. So he's saying, take this on to you. Adopt this mentality in you. That he suffered in the flesh and hath ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of life may suffice us to have wrought the things of the Gentiles. Of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and dead? For this cause... was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but to live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On your part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, or in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And I guess I'll just say that this would be my heart, that we would, as a congregation, myself and us together, that we would all arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. And no matter what comes, and no matter what goes, that we would be here to bring glory and honor to God in all that we do and all that we say. All that we do and all that we say. That there could be no pretenses, no we're trying to set ourselves up to be better than some, none of it. But that we could live in openness and humility before God, so that Christ could receive all of the glory, from the how did we get here and why moments to the it feels good, where we've maybe reached a plateau. I'm grateful that I don't feel like we put our ministry in a spot that's unhealthy. I think we understand that we're all human, we're all men, but I trust that all of us jointly together we can all work towards that goal of bringing glory to God in all that we do and all that we say. And with that, I do want to say that I don't know what I'm doing. I'm inexperienced. But there's one goal that I have for you, one goal, and that's to be available. I want to be available for you, for Christ, for his kingdom. Can we kneel together? Our Father and our God, we're grateful to you. We're grateful to you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived the perfect example for us. He came and taught us of your heart. He gave us glimpses into your heart and how you would have for us to live and how you would have for us to thrive in our Christian lives. And Lord, we're just so grateful for that. Thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to do that. And Lord, he lived the perfect life and died the cruel death and rose again, that we could have life and we could have it more abundantly today. Lord, we're just so thankful. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you care about every little aspect of our lives. You care about the the why and the how did I get here moments. And you care about the mountaintop experiences. Lord, you're there for every single one of them. And Lord, help each one of us, Lord, and each one of us individually and us corporately to give honor and glory to you in every single experience along this life's journey. And Lord, help us to rely more on you each and every day. We thank you for your faithfulness and for your guidance, Lord. You have guided us so faithfully. And Lord, we look back and we can't do more than just marvel at your goodness because you're such a good, good God. And we thank you and we praise you. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.